This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll break down the markets here in just a few moments. One of those markets we'll look at is the corn market. There's a few examples of the slow pace of emergence, according to meteorologist with USDA, Brad Rippey.
Now, as we look at emergence numbers, obviously with the delayed planting, we don't have much emergence to report. Nationally, 2% emerged on April 24th. Five-year average is 3%, last year 3%. Almost all of the emergence is in Texas and North Carolina, 59 and 32% respectively. Tennessee at 3% emerged, five-year average is 13%. No other state reporting more than 1% emerged on April 24th.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Bob Maurer. Bob is with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Coming up in about 11 minutes and 20 seconds, or close to that, we'll have some information on how you can talk one-on-one with Bob. And really, Bob, to tee things off, it's a brand new month. And we start the month with some big rallies in markets, and this is really on the heels of a lot of volatility. And we've seen it from the cotton market. We've seen it in the grains and the oil seeds. We see the volatility in livestock. It's really across the board. Volatility has really become the name of the game, hasn't it?
It really has. And I deal with a number of types of traders. So I've got hedgers who are intermediate term focused, and then I've got the speculators, which can be all over the calendar, meaning really short term traders, intermediate term traders, and then longer term traders. And not only just in the futures markets and the commodity markets that we talk about, but the stock market too, that I've, chat with customers about. The bottom line is that there isn't one person that I've talked to that thinks, oh, I think things will blow over in the next month or two. I mean, there's no chatter like that. So everybody's still on a heightened alert of this impact, this amped up volatility, and nobody seems like has an opinion where they think it's going to really abate much over the short term. So really, it's something that you need to become comfortable with, as hard as that is to say. At least what's happened over the last couple of years, and maybe in the last couple months to amp it up ever since the Russian invasion into Ukraine, or whatever you want to call it, has been the fact that we're getting a little more familiar with the volatility. The hardest thing to do from a trader's perspective, or in my opinion, is to kind of figure out when things aren't the way they normally are. And it kind of takes a while to do that for many traders. And it's just one of those things that you need to adjust to and adapt to, or you tend to get hurt. So I think it's, at this point, something that we're becoming more familiar with. And what that really means is that, from my perch, is that traders and speculators and hedgers and guys who are involved with the cash business, those who are more apt to like volatility in the marketplace and see it as opportunistic are hopping in and, with full jumping into the water, whereas those who don't are finally learning to have pulled back a little bit and maybe wait for more ideal scenarios that they think they can judge the risk and reward for. So I think there was a long-winded answer to your setup there, but nonetheless, the volatility is here and it just does not seem to be going away.
And it's a great place to really launch into the markets as we start the first week in May. We're coming off of a cattle on feed report recently that was a bit bearish. We've had some USDA reports coming out. We've got a WASD report coming out. What are you focused on right now? What's really drawing your focus out of all the markets?
I think it's the elephant in the room, which is what's going on in terms of the supply chain, in terms of supply from certain what had been reliable areas, that being the breadbasket, one of the breadbaskets in the world, that being Ukraine and Russia, and how that's going to trickle on and move on and continue to evolve in terms of supply out there, and just the pressures that we're seeing from that particular scenario. Also, had we not had that situation evolving. There still would be the normal things that we look at, which are weather, for example, and how that's impacting production around the world, energy prices, whatever you want to, you know, however you want to frame the approach towards what you think about what's happening to the climate and those bigger things. So those haven't gone away. In addition, you've got some of the bigger elements that are more recent, like the supply chain issues, like I mentioned, the breadbasket issue with Ukraine and Russia. So those are the things that we are always top of mind these days. And then as we move forward, we kind of drill down into the data, and then we get the monthly reports like you mentioned, and they can include like cattle on feed, and then the WASDE reports, and then the numerous other reports like export sales that we get. So we just continue to take that data within the context of some of the bigger stuff that's happening and try to figure out what's going on. Now, to your point, though, I mean, in the cattle on feed, one of the markets that have been moving quite a bit, I'm saying from the, you know, the talk about volatility has been the livestock sector, and not just the cattle that we normally talk about, but hogs. I mean, hogs have been moving rather significantly. The June hog futures topped off back in early part of April at roughly about 128, just shy of 128, and we're down to 103-ish right now. So big move to the downside in that particular market. And we've seen similar type of moves in live cattle. For example, the August live cattle futures topping off around the 140s or so recently, and then dipping down to the 130s that we're at recently, the mid-130s. Feeder cattle having big moves too, along with what's happening in cattle, but not only with what's happening in cattle, also always having an eye on what's happening on the inputs there. And a pretty big, significant slide, similar somewhat in chart structure to the hogs, whereas topped off earlier in the year, you can pick your point, February or April, and then dipped all the way down into the, you know, mid to higher 160s just on Friday. So those are the swings that we're seeing. And a couple of reasons for the move in the live cattle has been some of the macro things. So in terms of the context of the marketplace, the stock market falling back, you always get this storyline about fears that spendable income from consumers might start to fall back a little bit, which could translate into maybe not having such a big demand for the better cuts of beef, for example. We've got continued liquidation of cows. We've got dress weights that are still sitting up towards highs. Last week, the average dress cattle weight was about 833. Which was unchanged from the previous week, but up about 9 pounds from a year ago. And relative to the five-year average, that's up about 29 pounds. So basically that just means, you know, more production can happen because they're carrying heavier weights. So we've got that part of the equation, which could be construed as bearish. You got the box beef cutout, just where the cash is trading. It traded lower last week to about just shy of on 260 and three quarters. That was down from about just shy of 268 the previous week, so that's fallen off. And in terms of the choice cuts, they were down about $6.50 on the week, and select cuts were down about $4.50 on the week. So weakness in the cash, and a couple of elements that I mentioned right there also adding to some bearishness. Now, I'm telling you this on the day when the market was up 240 points, but the reason, in my opinion, the market was up 240 points is that probably we're looking for steady cash this week, which could help, but also the fact that those grains were significantly lower. So even though it's up today, based on what happened today, it still seems like relatively there seems to be a little of a bearish cloud on the live cattle futures. Doesn't mean it can't go up. We get those recovery bounces all the time, but it seems to me like some of these bounces are going to be looked at as selling opportunities, especially from the spec crowd. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Okay. Now, one of the other things, and you've kind of touched on this, is what's happening outside of the U.S. And as we move into our growing season, we watch South America a little less. But how important is it to keep an eye on what's going on in Brazil and Argentina and South America?
Well, if we think we're a big player, they must think that they're a big player. So from their perspective, they're the biggest players they have now. I mean, and that's that. So they're going to be a a foe in terms of the quantity of product that we have to compete with in terms of pricing, right, for those who are buying the commodities that we talk about. So it's never more important than it has been. It's extremely important. And with the flow of information these days and how fast things happen, it's not an insider's market as much anymore either. It's a free flow of information in terms of what's happening out there, you know, acre by acre, anywhere in the world, and see what kind of development's coming along. But to your point, if you just want to drill down, if you look at wheat, for example, if we just look at that one particular commodity, you have to look at what's happening in Ukraine. Right now, they've formally closed four of the Black and Azov seaports. So obviously, there's a big supply decrease right there, at least in the availability and the ease of availability that we're used to. You look at what's happening in India, and they've got a massive heat wave happening there, to the tune of numbers in terms of temperatures that they haven't seen in 120 years. And that's spurring some thoughts that yields might slump, you know, 10 to 50%, not a huge range, but nonetheless, looking at less production. And then you look over towards Turkey, and they basically had said, come out, their state grain board is thought to have canceled the provisional purchase of about 480,000 metric tons of wheat. The reason? Prices are too expensive. So you've got what's happening in Ukraine, you got what's happening in India, helping to drive prices higher, and then you've got a ramification of that, which is nothing cures high prices like high prices, and you've got Turkey basically canceling some bids there. So those are three examples right there from three different countries around the world of why it's so important to stay in touch with what's going on in the rest of the world. And then obviously we got to figure out what's happening here in the U.S. relative to that. But it's extremely important to keep your eyes on what's happening elsewhere.
Which is a perfect segue into asking you, how can we talk one-on-one? Because I know that you talk to clients outside of the U.S. as well. So if we want to visit one-on-one, how do we do it?
Yeah, because it's one thing talking about this fundamental data that we do, and I love doing it, and it's something we got to chat about, but it's also strategizing around it, and that's when those individual conversations are super important. But yeah, phone number is 312-987-2053. Email is bmaurer, that's B-M-A-U-R-E-R, at manducatrading.com. And then finally, if you want to check our websites out for us, it's www.manducatrading.com or www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading Chicago, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Once in a while, a product comes along that completely reinvents its category. Introducing the Rogator C-Series professional-grade self-propelled sprayer from Challenger. Its advanced yet simple solutions deliver ultra-precise crop application, save time, and make you money. We call it intelligent farming. You can call it the new benchmark in professional application. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice. Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early-season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in-furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, find Bob Maurer online at myfuturesadvisor.com.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report.
A record for March placement of cattle and calves in feedlots in the history of USDA's Cattle on Feed Report series. Over 12 million head on April 1st. That was up 2% year over year. Even with drought a major factor in this increased inventory, USDA livestock analyst Shale Shagham says findings such as this, as well as increased heifer and heifer calf placements from the previous year, may have been surprising to industry analysts.
Because industry analysts were expecting a sharper decline in the number of placements during March, that did wind up giving them a cattle on feed number on October 1st, which was above their expectations, and may, from an industry analyst standpoint, indicate larger numbers of cattle which will be coming out during the summer quarter and maybe putting some downward pressure on fed cattle prices.
Marketings of fed cattle during March were down 2% from 2021 at 2 million head. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.